Kutner Shabbos. Today brings us very likely to what would be the last Chasen Shmuz, and it's been a big schuss to be able to do this. If there's more material that we need to discuss, I'm always open to it. But at this point, pretty much today we'll finish the curriculum. Today we're going to discuss birth control, which I think is very important, both from a psychological perspective and a halachic perspective. It impacts families and couples in a number of different ways, which I hope to discuss. It's very important, again, to be makdim that this shiur is not a halachic shiur. I'm not a posik. I'm going to share with you different sources that people can look up and study, and that should open up lines of inquiry that then each of you and the listeners can on their own further inquire about and resolve, you know, by asking shailas or any which way that you work out your halachic concerns. Also, I remind everybody and to the future listeners, it's very important that the shurim are listened to in a sequential order, that each one does build on the other, and I can't cover every single concept all over again, so there's a tremendous amount of context, which is extremely important, and that's exactly why really Chazal were not happy with learning things having to do with arayos in public, in darshim, elabif and eshnayim, because there's a lot that could be misunderstood. But nevertheless, this is really a harashah. It's very important. People need a chance to understand these things, and oftentimes are too ashamed to do so. Also, to let you know, Mirz Hashem, I'm almost done. I'm writing up the Chasen Shmuz in Lashon Kodesh first, which is very, very different than the Shir, because anytime you write a Sefer, it you know, it takes on its own kind of language and style. And when that is available, you'll hear about it at Guard Your Eyes, but it's in the process of being written, and I hope also, Bezat Hashem, to write a more developed scholarly article in English regarding some of the confusing aspects of abstention and indulgence, you know, within the halachic ethic of whether you're really supposed to enjoy or not enjoy sexuality and other things. And I hope that, too, will become available in time. These are projects that I hope to work on, especially after I'm not spending the time preparing the Chasen Shmuz. If anybody has any questions, now or in the future, the best way is to email me at Simcha Feuerman, SimchaFeuerman at gmail.com. And so we begin what, like I said, I hope is the final segment that we'll be able to cover here. And I wanted to cover the basic halachic principles that concern a Jewish family regarding birth control, to understand what the concerns are, and also to talk about some of the psychological aspects. So the first thing is to understand what are the chiyuvim, right? So everybody knows that there is a chiyuv of pur uvu. There's a mitzvah saseh to be fruitful and multiply. And according to Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer, Simen Aleph, Sif Hei, that means to give birth to one male child and one female child. So the biblical requirement of pur uvu, as understood by Chachamim and as paskened in Shulchan Aruch, is to have one male child and one female child. And not only that, because the purpose of it is in order to allow the continuation of the world and of the generations, those children themselves need to be able to have children. So if one Rachmona Litzlan has a child that's not able to reproduce, then retroactively they would not have fulfilled pur uvu if they only had these two children, a male and a female child, and one of those children were not able to reproduce. So it would seem from the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Now, one who delays doing a mitzvah isn't an interesting category. I mean, there are mitzvahs that we constantly have to do, and if we don't do them for a moment or for a day, we don't necessarily violate anything. There's many mitzvahs I say. There's a mitzvah to do chesed. We do the best we can all the time, but there are times where we don't do that mitzvah. Is that a bit lassé? Not necessarily. However, Shulchan Aruch does consider delaying fulfilling the mitzvah of Puravu to be a bittul aseh, which is a very serious problem. That's an Evan Ezer, Simon Samach Vav, Sivkot and Vav. So the first thing we have to understand is that the mitzvah of Puravu is incumbent, meaning a person really must do it, and they must do it as soon as possible. Hence the need to get married. You know, there is discussion about Nafshi Choshka B'Torah. There's discussion about whether a person wants to learn first, and you see in yeshivas, there are many yeshivas where that is the custom. Like, for example, one that I'm familiar with is Chafetz Chaim, right? The Bacharim do not marry so early, right? And you know, in other groups, in other sects of Yiddishkeit, there are people that they encourage marriage at a very early age. And there are Gemaras that talk about either side. But the point is that there is a point, whenever it is, when a person is ready, psychologically, socially, developmentally, whatever you want to call it, there is an age where a person is ready to get married. And when that person is ready, and it's practical for them to get married, to delay having children at that moment would be a bit lassé. So that's the first principle. We definitely need to digest that. Now, that's not the only chiyuvim that we have. So the Gemara in Yevamos and Samach Beis Amud Beis talks about what if you already were a kayim pruvu? What if you had a male and female child? So did you dispense with any further obligations? So the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Shua Omer, Neso Adam Isha Bialduso, a man should marry a woman in his youth. If a man married a woman in his youth, Yisa Isha Biziknuso, he should also marry a woman when he's older. And that's just for chashad, and the person should not have a yetzer hara. So even if he was once married, when he's older, he can marry again. He should marry again if he's no longer married. Hoyu lo banim bialduso, if he had children when he was young, yiyu lo banim bizeknuso, he should also have children when he's older. Shenamar, as it says in Koheles, Perek Yedal Pasuk Vav, Baboker zra es zarecha, in the morning sow your seed, v'la'erev al tonach yodecha, and in the evening do not rest your hand. Ki ein cha yodea eze yikosher, you don't know what will be good. Hazeh ozeh, this one or that, v'mshneim ke'echa tovim, and if both the children from your early years and the children from your later years are kosher, even better. The point is, the Gemara seems to understand from there, or it seems that the Gemara is understanding from there, that there is an additional chiyuv to have more children based on the idea that you have to diversify your assets. You don't know whether you're going to fulfill the best kind of parenting and produce the best kind of children with just two, let alone chas v'shalom that a child can die. I've had non-Jewish and irreligious colleagues who, you know, they've had one or two children, and you know, the desolation that they feel when, you know, they're older and past childbearing years, and either the child becomes estranged, or the child dies, or other, you know, other kinds of things. The desolation that they feel is quite hard to bear. So on a practical level, the Gemara seems to be saying that one is obligated to have more children. Now, there's a lot of discussion. Is this an obligation? Is this an Eitzah Tova? Is this a suggestion in terms of Midos? And there's different opinions. It's notable that the Aruch HaShulchan and Evan Ezer, Siman Aleph, Sif Ches, seems to be medayik from the Rambam and other Mefarshim that this would be not really truly a mitzvah drabanan, but more like a hidur mitzvah, that the mitzvah approval is to have two children, and then it's a hidur mitzvah, and it's a smart thing to have many more. Okay? So it's open for discussion, but there's definitely Chazal are going on record advising one to have more than two children. So we've got the chiyuv of two children, and we have some kind of moral, ethical, possibly takana drabanan to have more. Then the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph adds an additional factor, which is the Bias HaMashiach factor, that there's a tradition that a certain number of souls must be brought to this world in order to accomplish whatever divine purpose is supposed to be accomplished. And so there's two ways the Mashiach can come. The Mashiach can come when it's the right time, meaning if we're Zoche, for it to come based on our deeds, it's going to come. But, and Tosfos discusses this over there too, but it doesn't really matter. The point is that the Gemara in Yevamos suggests that a certain number of souls have to be brought into the world before the Mashiach comes. And so the idea that's necessary is to have as many children as possible because you're actually fulfilling an ultimate divine plan. And therefore, there's really an additional imperative to have as many children as you can in order to be basically in accordance with the divine plan of bringing as many souls into the world as needed to accomplish whatever purpose the world needs to accomplish to hasten the redemption. So those are the chiyuvim. Those are the chiyuvim in terms of the positive obligations to have children. Then we have another dynamic at play. Right, we have a dynamic at play, which is that if one does not want to have children, what are the options available if you don't want to have children? Let's assume person had six children or eight children. So they feel that they've accomplished the mitzvah of Puravu. They feel that they've accomplished even what Chazal wanted in terms of diversifying assets and having even more than two children, and maybe even they've accomplished, more than their share of what's necessary to hasten the redemption. Of course, you can have 13 children, you can have 20 children, but if at that point you've already accomplished, what you wanted to accomplish, or what you feel that you could realistically accomplish, maybe you're allowed to be practical and say, I've had eight children, I've had six children, I've had 10 children, and I've fulfilled all the, all the requirements, and I'm in a position where I've even helped hasten the Mashiach by having even more children, but now I'm tired or kind of hard, I have a big mishpacha and they need my attention. So at that point, perhaps it's legitimate to say, I don't want to have any more children. Now, you can do that, but then you have a problem of the mechanics. How do you go about not having children? If you abstain from having intercourse, that's not completely simple. First of all, there's a requirement to give one's wife sexual and physical attention. So you can't ignore that. But let's say the wife, she doesn't want to have any more children either, and she's mochelas. There's still a problem of one should not put oneself in a position where he could be megara his yetzer, where he could lead himself to be aroused with no reasonable outlet. That being the case, it's not really a very savory or realistic option to abstain from sexuality in order to not have children. So what else is available to you? Well, there's all kinds of forms of birth control. Each one really can have some kind of problem or challenge. What's important to understand is that halachically, right, there are different views as to what's considered unnatural intercourse. The minute a person has what's considered unnatural intercourse, then it could be considered being motzi zera levatala, it could be considered wasting seed. So what type of birth control is used and how that birth control is understood, you know, varies according to the poskim. You know, so for example, putting in some kind of physical barrier in the rechem to prevent pregnancy, since it's a physical barrier, perhaps that's considered unnatural, or as the words Tosa says, kamatol al etzim v'avonim, it's like putting the zera anywhere and not where it belongs. On a practical level, a lot of poskim don't necessarily agree with that. The Yam Shor Shlomo and Yevamos Perek Aleph Sef Ches says that as long as there's a normal experience between the male and female body together, even if there's some internal barrier, that's not really considered zera levatala. Chazon Ish and Evin Ezer Perek Lamed Zayin agrees in principle, but he says Alach Lamaisa, only in a situation of sakana should one rely on using a physical barrier. Of course, today there are many barriers that are not physical, like a birth control pill, which is discussed by Rav Moshe and Evin Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Samachay, for example. And then there are other variations on that theme, like IUD, which functions in a different way, where presumably, because there are so internal or subtle in the way that they act, like, for example, they can act on a microscopic level, like a spermicide, or they can act on a hormonal level, like the pill, that really the act itself is a normal marital act, and therefore it's not considered moitzi zera levatala. And the reality is that that these things require a psak, because this is not an area that, generally speaking, is clearly defined when what's considered a danger, what's considered that you've already fulfilled the mitzvah according to the requirements of Chazal. So, generally speaking, people need to ask shilas. The guidelines here that I'm giving is so that you can have some idea and not feel, you know, excessive shame or embarrassment about trying to resolve these issues, because these are really halachic issues, and the dynamics are such that oftentimes people are very embarrassed, and they don't really ask the shaila, or if they ask the shaila, they withhold important details. See, for example, let's work our way backwards. The mitzvah saseh of pru avu, a mitzvah saseh is a very important thing. It's an extremely important thing, but there are limits even to that, right? So for a lav, you have to give up everything except for your life, for a lav, not to violate a lav, but to turn down an assay, you only have to give up to a fifth of your net worth. Now, there are some kinds of stress, some kinds of emotional distress or physical distress that is worth more than a fifth of a person's possessions. So when the distress is very great, even a mitzvah saseh could be exempted, and that's a very important point. So, you know, someone goes and asks for shaila, and they're having terrible shalom bias issues, not just here and there they're not getting along, but they're having terrible shalom bias issues, it may be very legitimate to share that with the Rav, so the Rav understands what's at stake over here. People oftentimes are very reluctant. There are also factors such as, there is something called osik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah. Even more so, if the mitzvah that you're osik in is one of having children. For example, let's say one already has a child. I have one child. You weren't mekayim peruvu yet. You have one child. Or you have three male children or three female children. And at that moment in your life, according to your assessment, you really don't have any more strength or energy or ability to give these children the proper attention that they need for their welfare, so that if you would have another child at this point, you would in some way dilute your ability to to take care of the needs of the children that are presently in front of you. Rav Henkin discusses this in the Tshuva, and there is some source for this, which is debated, but the point is, in concept, it makes a lot of sense, right? There's a mitzvah of Puruvim, and you want to do that mitzvah with all your heart. You want to have as many children as possible, but the devil is in the details, right? What is as possible? Because one person could handle 15 children easily, another person could only handle 4 children easily, and also there are different kinds of children. One child can be an extremely high-needs child, and other children need less. So conceptually, if one's intention, and most of the Torah works by intention, right? If one's intention is, I don't want to be mevatel yaseh, I don't want to disregard the chiyuvim, of the yaseh of having children. I simply feel that I can't yet have another child because I'm still involved in the mitzvah of properly bringing up and tending to this child or these children. That can be a legitimate argument. But again, it's a psak. It's something that a person themselves are not necessarily, equipped to see with objectivity, because there's a lot of, it's a slippery slope. You can use osik b'mitzvah patan and a mitzvah to exempt yourself from many commandments, and on a practical level, we don't do that. But it is still a valid line of reasoning. And so when you ask your Shaila, you need to be very clear about what are your emotional and physical and familial circumstances, and keep in mind that it takes two to have a child. So regardless of how you're doing, you have to also understand subjectively what is the subjective experience of your spouse, how is she doing in this, and what are her abilities, and to share that with the Rav very candidly so that he is equipped to properly make the decision, because without that, you're really not getting a psak halacha. You're getting a psak that's based on partial information that just simply may not be valid at all. So these are very important things to consider, and it all boils down to not being ashamed and being able to advocate for the needs of your family and yourself, and being able to see things honestly. Right, self-honesty is the most important thing, right? If we're dealing with moral laziness, that a person just doesn't want to have the strain and stress of having more children and paying more yeshiva tuition, that's a problem. We're not here. Adam l'amol yulad. We're not here to sit around and coast. We're here to work, and we have many, many mitzvahs. And one of the most important mitzvahs is to have children. But if, on the other hand, there are real emotional, physical limitations that need to be taken into consideration, then they need to be taken into consideration. And it's completely and totally subjective and completely and totally relative. And the only one that really knows what's in your heart is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very easy to be overly machmer, and it's very easy to be overly megal. And so people really need to think this thing through. And if you've been listening to the shiurim all along, it's really like everything else we've been discussing, which is that it's very important to take lifnim mishuras hadin seriously, and to understand that there are, according to the Torah, there are very strong requirements upon a Jewish person to kadosh asmecha b'motar lach, to voluntarily abstain from certain pleasures in order to achieve holiness. And that idea is central to Jewish ethics, that one behave with modesty, and one behave in moderation, and one not overindulge. And yet, at the same time, right, one has to be very careful not to overshoot, and not to think one is operating on a higher level than he or she really is, which could end up becoming chumra da'asi l'dei kula. It could end up causing a person to fall even further because he had held themselves to an unrealistic standard, prohibiting that which technically would be permitted and causing much bigger problems. And that's a great way to end this whole schmooze, because it's a common theme from everything we've been talking about, which is that one must be extremely honest with oneself and be measured and understand when is there a time to abstain and when is there a time to indulge, and to know the risks associated with coming out wrong on either side, because, you know, either way, it can be a very big problem. And, you know, my bracha to everybody here is that we be zocha to have, you know, the seichel and the midos to live our lives in a way that we can be at peace in our heart and in our mind and with our families according to the Torah. So I'm going to shut off the recording and open things up to questions.